I grew up in the Roseland area outside the city limits in the unincorporated area. I went to school locally. I went to JC after Piner, and then I got a degree in engineering at UC Davis in mechanical engineering. I had a brief internship at PG&E while I was attending UC Davis, but I became interested in, you know, control systems, which is a branch of engineering. And then I went to Stanford. I got a master's degree in electrical engineering, which teaches more about control engineering and signal processing, digital signal processing, and things like that. And then I got a job in Southern California working in the defense industry. I worked for more than one company, and I did what I think you would call scientific programming, which included things like writing algorithms, which satellites use to track missiles, and some naval radar simulations and tracking programs. And at some point, you know, I bought a house early on after I graduated high school down there. I bought a house in Lawndale in 1987. But you know, close to the year 2000, my mom became ill, and I ended up moving up here to be with her. And everything changed because the work environment's totally different up here. And after she passed away, I've worked at some companies that do like surveying and civil engineering. I did surveying down in San Francisco for a while around the new Transbay terminal and some BART stations. I worked for a different company that had me surveying the PG&E gas mains. And what else have I done? I worked in 2018 after the wildfires of, you know, October 2017, I worked on a cleanup project for ECC, which is Environmental Chemical Corporation. They were the project management firm for the cleanup, and I did things like help out with the soil testing and the, you know, the checklist that the Army Corps of Engineers go through to give you your clearance on the property that the soil's clear and the debris's off and ready for building.
Okay, so help me then make the leap and understand what in your background made you feel like you want to represent the folks in West County on the Board of Supervisors.
Well, when I did move back up here, there were several, you know, issues before the board that I became interested in. I got involved with a taxpayer group, and we generally advocated against lots of taxes, property taxes mainly, things that felt were not the appropriate thing to address with a tax increase, like, you know, subsidizing housing with a property tax increase. We would generally be opposed to things like that. So we'd like to promote, you know, more efficient government without tax increases. And I was pretty active involved with that group. And I did write the ballot argument against the 2015 so-called road tax, which was a general fund tax. The polling had indicated it would pass because it only needed a simple majority, but you ended up with a 64% no vote on it, partly because of the fact that being a general fund tax, it would not necessarily go to roads like promise, and it could be allocated to other things. And there's also the, you know, the pension liability issue, which is a big thing, which is draining the county budget. So that the feeling was that if we're more serious about dealing with the pension deficit, you know, these new taxes for things like roads and what have you would not be so critical.
All right. So I imagine that you feel like Linda Hopkins is not doing the kinds of things that you would do on the Board of Supervisors. Tell me what you feel about what she has accomplished and what you think she should be doing better.
Well, she's looking for new taxes, it seems, for most every issue that comes along. There would be a tax for universal child care, There would be a tax for affordable housing and homeless. There's going to be a new tax for mental health and homeless. It seems like there's multiple taxes which would incorporate homeless in it. And it feels like she's not understanding what's really going on with the homeless issue, and, you know, funding is not being wisely spent in that regard. But I have other issues. One of the primary ones is the fact that she's backed by the Sonoma County Alliance.
The Sonoma County Alliance, you say. Okay.
And, you know, I think if people really understood the significance of what that means, there would be cause for concern.
Well, tell me more about that.
Okay. Sonoma County Alliance is a very powerful local organization representing the interests of wealthy businesses and wealthy individuals, and they provide substantial financial backing in these elections, like, for example, when she ran against Noreen Evans, and Noreen was backed by the Sierra Club and the SEIU. Now, what they really want is, you know, government to be responsive to the needs and interests of wealthy business interests and wealthy individuals, and that colors all kinds of decisions in the political realm to the, you know, detriment of the ordinary citizen. And yeah, I think the best way to talk about that is to give you some examples. Like,
please, yes.
Like we have conservation easements for vineyards, and what that means is the open space district will give money to a vineyard owner. And you know, I just characterize that simply as, you know, a welfare program for the rich. You know, you don't need to be subsidizing vineyards. And there's also, you know, incentives for developers who build the luxury homes, which are the least affordable to people, you know, in the, who really need housing. And they're more designed to attract the wealthy from the outside to bring money in here. We've recently found out that the Jackson Family Wines bought the Wickiup Golf Course. And the way I look at it, the proposal is essentially to, you know, put up some luxury homes there to make some easy money. And that's not necessarily in the best interest of the, you know, people who live here. Recently, we also had a vote in the Santa Rosa City Council, you know, and there's a split city council with a lot of Sonoma County Alliance aligned politicians there. And it had to do with rental home inspection, which I feel is very important because there's a lot of rundown rentals which, you know, can go to people involved in drugs and you know, adversely affect neighborhoods. So I would have been in support of, you know, rental home inspection ordinance because I've seen how neglected rental homes can adversely impact neighborhoods. But, you know, it was voted against by the Sonoma County Alliance aligned politicians, and it's simple to understand. The wealthy own rentals, and they just don't want to be, you know, bothered with it.
It's, from what I understand, that vote was actually tied 3-3, and Jack Tibbetts did not make a vote. So, in fact, it failed on the basis of that. But I'm interested to hear just a little bit more about inspections in the city and whether you think perhaps that should be expanded then to the county, that rental housing should be inspected either annually or, as this initiative said, every 5 years.
Well, an ordinance hasn't been brought before the county board, but I would like to see one, you know, yes. Because, you know, being outside the city limits, all you got to do is walk around my neighborhood and you can tell the rentals by the way they look compared to the owner-occupied homes. And the thing is, it's bad for not just the neighborhood, but the people who live in there as well. And you don't know that you know, they have mold or leaks of water around the windows and things like that. And it's just there's a lack of accountability when you just let people just collect rent and be absentee landlords. And it's just not right.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting point of view. I wonder if you would extend that to rent control. It seems like there's going to be an initiative on the November ballot, not in March, asking Californians once again if they want broader rent control. Are you for or against more rent control in California?
Well, I thought there was already
there is some,
a statewide
right?
measure.
There is some statewide measure, but they're trying to expand that in November.
Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with the details of that, and I think I would be opposed to it. The rent control that Santa Rosa passed when Chris Corsi was mayor, it only applied to, I think it was, units built before 1990-something, and
also not owner-occupied homes that have an extra unit.
Or more than four units or something, yeah. And I just didn't think that was right because it exempted too many. It was too, just applied to the really older ones, which would need more maintenance anyway. So, and it just didn't protect enough people. So I wouldn't have been in favor of that. Okay. Generally, I would be opposed to rent control beyond what the state has already done. You know, I'd like to see, you know, some limits on the annual rent increase, but at the local level, I don't think it's really workable.
Okay. Now, my understanding or my perception in any case is that the west part of the county has lots of fields where cannabis is growing, mostly illegally, but some legally. And, of course, there are plenty of indoor grows throughout the county. I wonder if you have a plan or an idea how to bring some of the black market producers and sellers into compliance so that our region would get more tax dollars and drive the black market out.
Well, I happen to have it growing next door to me a couple of years, and it did.
And is that a legal grow? Or
unpermitted,
uh-huh,
yes.
Okay.
Well, I live in a rural residential area. And current zoning prohibits it unless you have 10 acres or more and a 300-foot setback to the nearest home. And that's impossible in the type of neighborhood where I live, where you only have 1 acre or 2 acre parcels. So, and it was eliminated by the code enforcement. So I think we need to have active code enforcement to follow up on the unpermitted grows. My cousin in south of Sebastopol in the Hessel area, they've had grows over there, and they're just, unfortunately, I think people aren't calling in complaints very much, and there's been some of those fires from the butane, hash oil operations.
Well, could the county be doing a better job, and would you propose anything if you were on the Board of Supervisors to help making the market more reasonable?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think we need more active code enforcement. How to go about that, I'm not sure. Apparently, they collect plenty in fines when they do deal with one that pays for the code enforcement. So, I support that, to collecting the fines from the violators. And, I'd like to talk with, PRMD about how we can get better code enforcement. But as far as the cannabis, we have an issue with how the setback is written. It's written so that you have 300 foot to the nearest home and 1,000 foot to a nearest park, which is could also be a bike path. That's how the one in Grayton was blocked, basically by declaring the bike path to be a park and 1,000 foot setback. So I'd like to see the setback to a park to be the same as to a home, and maybe 300 feet is not enough to the nearest home, so maybe some sort of compromise in there. But it just simply doesn't make sense to me that the setback to a park should be more than three times what the setback to a home is.
Okay. One of the big issues in March will be Measure I, to give more money to SMART, or at least to extend the quarter cent tax beyond where it is now, so that there's a more regular source of income that they can sort of count on in the coming years. Do you have a position on Measure I?
No, I'm neutral on that. I'm leaning toward being opposed to it, but I think it's best to just remain neutral because they do have a plan to go forward with a connection over to Vallejo, which is, you know, quite interesting and is kind of news to me. And they expect to get some federal funding because they want to tie into the Capitol Corridor over there. So based on that, I'm not going to be, say, opposed to it.
Okay.
I think I might literally not vote on it. I'll just respect whatever the people decide because, you know, for us locally, it's not doing a good job of getting people back and forth to work. If I was working in San Francisco or Marin County, you know, I'm sure it wouldn't work for me because when I did do surveying in Marin County, you have to be down there, 6:30 or 7 in the morning at some location that's not near a train station. So it's just very impractical for most people. You know, construction jobs, too. If you're working on a home somewhere in Marin County, you'd most likely have to, you know, catch a ride once you got down there at the train station to your work site.
Okay. Now, it seems from your website like one of the things that you're most fired up about is roads in West County. And I know there's nothing sexy about building roads, but it seems like that's a real priority. So tell me why you're passionate about the roads in District 5.
It just is so bad that it makes the homes less valuable, and I just don't think it lends to a lack of pride in the neighborhood, and I think it is connected to how people let their homes deteriorate because they see the road is full of potholes and crumbling. You know, it just reflects badly on the whole neighborhood. And the priorities right now is to just deal with the collector roads, the high traffic roads, and we need to get more to the local roads, you know, in front of the homes so that we can improve the, you know, the aesthetics of the neighborhoods. And that would help. And the renewal of Measure M is a big deal because Measure M was the principal funding source for the widening of the freeway to 3 lanes. And now that that's complete, the question is, you know, if it will be renewed, how will that be allocated? And there's proposals to renew it and include alternative transportation projects and things like that. And I would urge the board to renew it with the focus being on, you know, city and county roads. Because as a countywide measure, it would be shared, you know, amongst the cities and the counties. So the county would, in my mind, be well served to spend their share on the roads in the unincorporated areas.
Okay. Now, I know, and we're nearing the end of our talk, I know that there was a lot of anger and disappointment that was voiced against Linda Hopkins because some people felt that she was not doing enough about the homelessness crisis. And I wonder if you feel like you're a face and a voice for some of the people who express those opinions and can express them in March.
I've been in touch with them, and I just think the whole approach was, you know, not very effective. And I'd like to see the shelter capacity expanded to empower the police to be more proactive. I've been reading comments from a retired San Rosa police captain, and he's kind of distressed about the way things have been going. And now there's a portion that's so actively involved in using drugs that's the fraction of it that is the most worrisome and the way that's dealt with. Now, he was suggesting we need an adequate number of shelter spaces such that the law enforcement can offer shelter space, and those that are most likely to decline, you know, being active drug users, and if you observe under the influence of controlled substance behavior, go ahead and do the search and the warrant check and things like that, because particularly the methamphetamine, is a problem. We had a stabbing committed by someone who was living in a trailer on Challenger Way, which is near my neighborhood, sort of, and he also expired at the jail. Now, that's quite possibly, you know, methamphetamine-related, because someone under the influence of a substantial amount of methamphetamine is more likely to lash out violently. And I've also been told that they can have blood pressures which are extraordinarily high and heart rates that are extraordinarily high, such that you could have, a medical incident. And there's been no determination, but, you know, it quite possibly is methamphetamine related, like a lot of the crime going on around here. There's a Chevron station by the trail there that has got a heavy duty chain link fence around it, and I just had a conversation with them recently, and one of the holes cut in the chain link fence was down the side of the Chevron station to facilitate shoplifting, because they had a fellow that's went out with an armload of goods from the Chevron, you know, Mini Mart, and he went around the side and down the side of the building through the hole in the fence, and they told me that hole was put in the fence deliberately to make for a faster exit when you're shoplifting.
Now, should those people be offered treatment options, or do you feel like they should be brought to the attention of law enforcement only, or both?
Well, the active methamphetamine user, I think the best way to deal with them, give them a good look at what the inside of a jail cell looks like, and give them some incentive to straighten out.
Okay.
And also, we need to discourage, transient drug users from coming here. And the fact, contrary to what some people say, is we have quite a few of them coming here. Santa Rosa police has uncovered quite a few of them with something funny called their bicycle bait program, which is they put out a new bike and see who swipes it. And they found people with, histories of like 30 arrests and just moved here recently and drugs and theft. And you can't just let people run wild, doing drugs and doing whatever they want. I have a relative who's a manager of a grocery store, and he says you would easily lose $1 million a year from shoplifting if you didn't have professional security.
Okay.
And there's dozens of shopping carts out that have been stolen too, which is an economic hit on the stores.
Sure. Let me finally give you an opportunity to make a sort of a closing argument to the folks in your district about why they should vote for you on March 3rd.
I'll be much more conservative with the spending of the money, especially in dealing with the homeless. I got a lot better idea. I would like to see commercial space probably on South Santa Rosa Avenue. Large space with lots of beds in a cost-efficient manner that would deal with a lot better than sanctioned encampments. And as far as, the rest of the county budget, I would be very conservative, and I would try to pay down the pension deficit more quickly than is being done and find more roads funding, and also to reallocate the TOT, which is up to 12%.
So what does that stand for? I'm sorry.
Transient occupancy tax,
like a hotel
which
tax.
Is the whole tax, is
uh-huh.
up to 12%. That could be better allocated for rural fire services, because Monterio is struggling with their volunteer program.
Okay, and how are you feeling about your chances for March 3rd?
Oh, it's really tough. I understand that, but I'm doing the best I can. I have people helping me and sharing my website, which is MikeHilber.com, if you don't mind me saying it.
Not at all. All right, thanks, Mike Hilber. You're running for supervisor in District 5 against the incumbent Linda Hopkins.
Thank you very much, Steve.